praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. The priests in the Old Testament had to meet three basic requirements to qualify for their lofty service. First, they had to be born of the proper lineage. Then, they needed to be clothed with the priestly garments. And finally, they had to have their hands full of the offerings. What's interesting is that the requirements for being a priest today in the New Testament are really the same. This is mysterious, yet it is too marvelous. Don't miss our focus today on this Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Well, we turn the corner today after dealing with the priestly garments, and we come now to the offerings mentioned in Exodus chapter 29, and Brother Bob Danker has joined us. Bob, thank you for being here.
Chris, it's always a pleasure to be with you on this broadcast.
Bob, as I mentioned, we're now in a new section of our life study of Exodus, and we've looked at the furnishings in the tabernacle, we've looked at the structure itself, and in quite some detail, the garments and the adornments of the priests. But now we come to the person, the priests themselves. And the first point that most people consider is what is referred to as the consecration of the priests that appears in Exodus 29. Bob, after spending a lot of time looking at these outward things, the outward garments of the priests, the offerings actually become the food for the priests. This sounds a lot like the New Testament economy that we frequently speak of on this program and in this ministry, where both the outward and the inward needs get taken care of, doesn't it?
It does, Chris. Basically, man's first need is not to be clothed, but to be fed. And this is shown very clearly in the Bible in the very beginning. When Adam was created by God, actually, this was before the fall, before sin entered into the human race, Adam did not have any clothing. He was not clothed with any outward garments. But he did have the need to be filled inwardly. This is why, after God created Adam, that he put him in a garden, and there was the tree of life there. And God's intention was that Adam would eat the tree of life, and by doing that, he would receive God himself into him so that he would be inwardly filled with God as his life, as his reality, as his everything. Then, of course, man fell. So after the fall, man had the second need, and that is to be clothed with some proper garments.
Bob, there's a lot in store for our listeners as we get into the offerings. We're going to spend some time to look at them individually and see how they're really applied and have a genuine and real application to our New Testament walk with Christ. And the pictures that await, I think, our listeners are really marvelous. Is this your impression also of these offerings and how they're developed in this ministry?
Yes, the offerings are extremely important for us in our experience of Christ. Christ is our offerings, and this is a large part of our enjoyment of Christ is through these offerings.
Well, let's join Witness Lee with our first portion then today, and then we'll return for some more fellowship.
People, when reading chapter 29 of this book, are very easy impressed with the consecration of the priests. Now the priests are ready and their garments are ready, so they need to be consecrated. Some versions even change the word consecration to ordination. Actually, there's no base for such a translation. This word in Hebrew doesn't mean consecrate. But this word in Hebrew means to fill their hand. There are some persons whose hands are empty. They don't have anything in their hand. What is to be done in this chapter is to fill their hand. And this means you cannot serve God empty-handed. Your hand must be full, must be filled with Christ. Now, this chapter uses another word for this consecration. What word? Sanctify. To sanctify is to set apart. One day, we got set apart. To be saved includes to be set apart. Do you realize that the Lord's saving always labels us? This is a kind of a thing to put upon you as a mark that you have been set apart. You have been sanctified. You have been saved unto God. Now, my question is, what is this mark that separates you? This mark that sets you apart from the sinners is just Christ. When you were there among the sinners, you were empty. Not only you were empty-handed, you were entirely empty. Not only your hands were empty there, even your entire being was empty. When you got saved, Christ came in, and Christ became a mark that set you apart, that separated you from all the empty sinners. Amen. Then you have something within you. In other words, you have something in your hand to serve God. What is the real consecration? The filling up of your emptiness with Christ is the real consecration. This is the sanctification.
Bob, we saw that verse 9 can be translated and has been translated either as consecrated or ordained. And these are words that are typically used, or thought of at least, quite religiously, I guess we would say. But the literal meaning of the word that we just heard about is very practical, and actually there's a lot of insight here. The Recovery Version translates the passage this way, Bob, "And you shall fill the hands of Aaron and his sons." What does having one's hands full have to do with these religious terms, consecration and ordination?
Well, actually, as you pointed out, the literal translation of the Hebrew is to fill the hands. So this shows us something very, very important. It shows us that to serve God, it is not just a matter of being ordained or dedicated for this kind of Christian service or for some kind of Christian work. It's something much, much different. According to the revelation that we have in Exodus chapter 29, before Aaron and his sons could begin their priestly service, they had to have their hands filled. They had to be sanctified by having their hands filled. They had to be separated, set apart for their priestly service. It was not just a matter of being ordained or even being dedicated. They had to be filled with Christ so that they could serve God with Christ. As long as we are empty, we are not qualified to serve God. Actually, God does not want anything that comes out of ourself, something that comes out of us, our natural being, our natural ability, our natural intelligence. All these things are not qualified to make us servants of God. What makes us a servant of God or a priest to serve God is that we have our emptiness filled with Christ. We have our hands filled with Christ as the offerings. And this is what we see here in Exodus 29.
Well, of course, to say something like we need to be those who have their hands full of Christ as the offerings, obviously this implies that what we're speaking of in these Old Testament offerings are really types, shadows, pictures that point to the reality of the Savior and all of his marvelous aspects. This is where we're headed in the sections ahead today and in these coming programs, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, this is extremely important that we realize that all the offerings in the Old Testament are pictures or are types of this wonderful person, Jesus Christ.
The section that we're talking about in Exodus 29 is really dealing with the Old Testament priesthood, which at that time was limited to the sons of Aaron and his sons. The New Testament expands the priesthood greatly, and that's what we want to see in this coming section.
All the children of Israel are God's people, but they are God's people, yet they are not God's priests. There's the need of a kind of sanctification to sanctify. Here, what Moses did with Aaron and his sons was not something done to the unbelievers, to the Egyptians. Aaron and all his sons were God's people already. Yet, they still need to be set apart. They needed to be sanctified that they may serve God as priests. Not only so, at the end of this section, it says, by this kind of statue, they received the priesthood for eternity. What was the thing that sanctified them and made them different from all the others? That was the filling up of their hands with all the rich offerings. This filling up sanctified them. This filling up set them apart. And this filling up brought them a mark of separation, a mark of difference, a mark of sanctification. And this is Christ. Now, I'd like to point out to you, what is to consecrate you to serve God as a priest? Actually, it is not to consecrate you. Actually, it is to sanctify you, to set you apart, to separate you, not by some action, not by some activity, but by filling your hand up with offerings, with Christ. And this filling up of the empty hand with Christ is your sanctification. And this sanctification, this kind of sanctification, sets you apart. Amen. To be God's priest. Amen. Who sets you apart? Christ. Christ, not in doctrinal way. Christ in the experiential way, to become the very filling up in your hand.
Bob, we saw that verse 9 in chapter 29 in many translations is translated including the word consecrated or ordained, and the phrase that we use in the Recovery Version and is probably more close to the original language, the Hebrew meaning here, is that you shall fill the hands of Aaron and his sons. Of course, consecrated and ordained are terms that we think of in a very religious context, and that's quite different than what we seem to get from the literal meaning here of having our hands full. How would you compare these different translations, Bob?
Aaron and his sons were part of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt that had already experienced the Passover. So they were redeemed, and they were God's people. And we can see from the Old Testament that God's desire was that all of his people would be a priest to serve him. In bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, God intended to have a nation of priests. But eventually, because of the worshiping of the golden calf, only one tribe among the 12 was actually selected to serve God, and that was the tribe of Levi. And the family of Aaron was one of the families in this tribe. So Aaron became the high priest. His sons became his fellow priests who were serving with him. So they were qualified because they were part of the people of Israel. They were God's people. Well, let's look at ourselves today, you know, because we believe in Christ, we are saved, we have received Christ, we are all God's people. And we know from the New Testament that God's desire is that every single believer in Christ would be a priest serving God. So we might think, well, I am a person, I am a believer, I am one of God's people, then I'm automatically qualified to serve. But that's not what we see here in Exodus 29. Aaron and his sons were people of God, but that didn't qualify them to serve God. They needed something in addition to just merely the status of being God's people. They needed to have their emptiness filled, mainly by two things. First, they needed to be clothed with the priestly garments. And these priestly garments are symbols of Christ himself as the outward expression of the priests. And these garments were, of course, beautiful garments, and they typify Christ as our beautiful expression, our beautiful outward covering, so that we could have this kind of covering in the presence of God, and God would be pleased to accept us in Christ as our garments. But even this much was not enough. Still, the priests needed something inwardly. They needed to receive some nourishment, some food. And what did they eat? They ate the offerings, which were symbols or types of Christ. When they ate the offerings, then they were nourished inwardly, and their hands were filled with Christ, and they had something that they could offer to God, and they also had something that would strengthen them for their service. And this is really our need today. We need to be clothed with Christ as our righteousness, our outward expression, full of glory and beauty, and we also need to be nourished with Christ, filled with Christ inwardly, so that when we serve God, we don't serve him out from our natural constitution, our natural goodness, what we are in ourselves. The only thing that God will accept from us in our service is Christ. So we must see and realize and take care of this matter of being filled with Christ so that we can be sanctified. That means set apart and separated from everything else to be the serving ones, to be the priests, to serve God.
That's so different, I think, than the natural common concept. Normally you would look at a person and you might say, there's a pious man, there's a godly man who's humble and meek, and he's qualified to be in the ministry. But really the qualifier was not the disposition of the priest. It's what his hands were full of and what he was consumed with, isn't it?
That's right. We may dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We may be a pious kind of a person, but this does not qualify us to serve God. We need to be filled with Christ.
Well, as we've looked now at the pictures in Exodus 28 and now in 29, we see really two primary things: the robe, the garment of the priest, and now the feast, the food, the enjoyment of such a feast. These two things appear in the New Testament in a story that I think is familiar to many Christians. Let's look at that parallel in this coming section.
After the clothing, what is it? The offerings. The offerings are for what? For food. The garments are the clothing. The offerings are the food for the priest. The priest need some inward nourishment, some inward strength. The picture shows you that there is a crucial need of food. Every part, every bead of the priest's garment typifies Christ. But the garments are just for the outward expression and the outward beauty. Suppose this Aaron, after the clothing, stands here for 24 hours. This might be punishment to him. I'm hungry. I need something to eat. Everything outside is okay, so beautiful, so pretty, full of glory. But how about my inside? We need Christ to be our outward expression and beauty. Even we need Christ more for our inward nourishment, inward strengthening. We need him to be our food. In chapter 28, you have the clothing of the priests. In chapter 29, you have the food. In Rook 15, you have the good rule, even the best rule there. And you have all the fatted calf. The rule is Christ, and the calf is also Christ. The best rule is Christ for our clothing. And the fatted calf is Christ for our eating. So, when you wear the best robe, and when you enjoy the fatted calf, you are filled up. Amen. You are sanctified. You are ordained by God the Father to be His priest.
Amen.
With what? With Christ.
Amen.
It is this Christ that separates you, that sets you apart from being common. Now you are full of Christ. Your emptiness has been altogether filled up.
Amen.
With Christ. You have no more nakedness outside, no anger inside. Your emptiness is filled up. Very good. Hallelujah.
Bob, I think this Old Testament picture is just wonderful. We've seen the robe and the adornments that comprised the priest's outer garments, and now we're seeing the offerings that become his food, the inward nourishment for the priests. There's an unmistakable parallel here between this picture and a gospel story in the Gospel of Luke that is really unmistakable. It mentions the robe and the feast, right?
Yes, Chris, this is the story of the prodigal son that we all know from Luke chapter 15. Of course, in this story, the prodigal son left home. He took all the inheritance that he was given by his father, and then he went away to a far country. And then eventually he spent all this inheritance and he became very poor. So he ended up in a very pitiful state. No doubt his clothes were dirty and torn and tattered, but the real problem that he had was that he didn't have anything to eat. Eventually, he made a decision based upon his hunger, based upon his inward need, that he would go back to his father's house. He said to himself, "My father's servants are eating better than I am. I had better go back to my father's house." So he made the decision to go back. And of course, we all know the story. While he was coming to the house, the father saw him and ran to meet him and received him. And the first thing that the father did was to command one of his servants to bring the best robe and to put it upon this returning prodigal son. This was something to meet his outward need for clothing. And this robe is a symbol of Christ as our righteousness outwardly, which qualifies us to be accepted by God and to be in the presence of God. If we are not clothed with Christ, then we have no ground to enter into God's presence and have any kind of fellowship or enjoyment with Him. But then here, this prodigal son was standing there with this beautiful robe on. But no doubt he thought to himself, "I'm very happy that I have a new garment, but still I'm very hungry. And the real reason that I came back here was to have my hunger satisfied." So eventually the father realized this, of course, and he commanded his servants to kill the fattened calf. And then they had a great feast, and they enjoyed this fattened calf. Well, this fattened calf, of course, is another picture of Christ, who was killed on the cross so that we could enjoy Him with God as a feast. And this feast satisfies us inwardly and meets our inward need to be filled inwardly. So this is a marvelous picture showing the same thing as we see here in Exodus 29. The priests needed the garment to clothe them, and they needed the offerings, the meat of the offerings, and the bread of the offerings to feed them and fill them inwardly. And the same thing we see with this wonderful story of the prodigal son. He had the same needs.
Right. And once the prodigal son is adorned with the robe and has eaten the feast, he then enters immediately into the priesthood, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And that's the real qualifier. I like this picture very much, Bob. I've also appreciated the time with you that we've had to get into it and develop it a little bit.
Yeah, this is a marvelous matter that we're covering, and I really hope that all the listeners of this program could see this matter and be deeply impressed.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Receive us in
thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.